The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Did you catch Season 3 of This is Digital? Season 3 of This is Digital goes behind the scenes to reveal how digital trends show up in everyday decisions and actions, including digital lessons from the EV revolution and the chief digital officer's role in disruption and culture. Featuring guests like Ekta Chopra of Elf Beauty and Tyson Jomini of JD Power. Do you have a digital mindset? Find out by checking out the latest and greatest on Season 3 of This is Digital and learn more at westmonroe.com.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that proves history waits for no one. I'm Gabe Lousier, and today we're talking about the time Napoleon Bonaparte made an ill-fated trip to Moscow. The day was September 14th, 1812. Fresh from his victory over Russian forces at the Battle of Borodino, Napoleon Bonaparte and his Grande Armée marched triumphantly into the city of Moscow. To their surprise, the city was deserted. Normally home to 275,000 Russian citizens, only a few thousand, about 2%, remained when Napoleon made his not-so-grand entrance. The people weren't the only thing missing, either. The city had been swept of food and supplies, leaving little reward for the tired and hungry French soldiers who now occupied an abandoned city. This disappointing situation got even worse for Napoleon when, just after midnight, fires erupted across the city, the handiwork of the remaining Russians who would have rather seen their city burn than fall under the rule of their enemy. One day earlier, high-ranking Russian officials had held a meeting just outside of Moscow. They debated whether to step aside and allow Napoleon to enter the city or to mount a stand against him. It was not an easy decision. Losing the city would, of course, be a disgrace, but an attempt to defend it would almost certainly fail. The Russian army had just lost about 45,000 soldiers during the Battle of Borodino 1 week earlier. The remaining troops were exhausted, demoralized, and in no shape to fight again so soon. With all of this in mind, Russia's commander-in-chief, General Mikhail Kutuzov, made the difficult decision to order a strategic retreat. He wrote a consoling letter to Emperor Alexander I, saying, quote, "Your Majesty, Napoleon entering Moscow does not mean him conquering Russia yet." Kutuzov was right, but Napoleon was inching closer to that goal. At the time, the French emperor was at the height of his power. His European empire was expanding by the day, with Britain being the only real holdout. Napoleon knew that if Russia were to join his continental blockade, Britain would be economically isolated and would have no choice but to submit to his rule. But when this plan was presented to Alexander I, the Russian Tsar adamantly refused. In retaliation, Napoleon ordered his Grand Armée into Russia on June 24, 1812. At the time, it was the largest European military ever assembled, featuring more than 500,000 soldiers and staff. He had expected to steamroll the Russian army, but rather than surrender, Russian forces just kept fleeing deeper and deeper into their own territory. The retreating Russians made a point to either seize or burn any supplies that might otherwise fall into French hands. They knew that Napoleon's supply lines would be overextended the deeper they went into Russian territory. Eventually, though, the Russian public grew tired of their army's perpetual retreat. Under immense pressure, General Kutuzov finally agreed to face the French head-on at the town of Borodino, about 70 miles west of Moscow. And as I mentioned earlier, it did not go well for the Russians, who were compelled to give up Moscow and retreat yet again. Napoleon wasn't pleased with how the Russian campaign had gone so far, but he still believed that storming Moscow would force Alexander I to surrender and join his blockade. But when he marched into a mostly deserted city on September 14th, he probably started to have some doubts. At first, Napoleon took up residence in a house on the edge of the city. Then, when news came that a fire had broken out, he moved to the Kremlin, where he could better monitor the situation. But soon, a fire broke out in the Kremlin too, supposedly started by a Russian officer who was immediately caught and killed. With the flames spreading out of control, Napoleon and his forces fled through the burning city streets, nearly choking to death in the process. The fires continued for the next 3 days, and when they were finally out, more than two-thirds of Moscow was gone. Despite the poor outcome of his invasion, Napoleon still held out hope that Alexander would agree to join forces. He wrote to the Russian Tsar 3 times proposing peace, but his requests were ignored. For his part, Alexander I said the burning of Moscow had, quote, illuminated his soul, and that he would never negotiate peace with Napoleon. After a month spent waiting in a burned-out city, Napoleon was forced to accept that no surrender was coming. He reluctantly led his starving army back along the war-torn route by which they had come to Moscow. On the long road back to Paris, Napoleon's army was attacked, again and again, by Russian forces. A lack of food and the sub-zero temperatures of a Russian winter also took their toll. At last, in mid-December, the Grande Armée finally made it out of Russia. Over the course of their unsuccessful coup, the 500,000-strong army had dwindled to less than 100,000. General Kutuzov's gamble had paid off, and Napoleon's humiliating failure in Russia marked the beginning of the end of his empire. 2 years later, a coalition of European armies defeated his remaining forces and exiled the former emperor to the island of Elba. In 1815, Napoleon mounted a short-lived comeback, escaping to France and raising a new army. Once again, though, an Allied force fought back and put an end to his reign for good at the Battle of Waterloo in June of that year. This time, Napoleon was exiled to the even more remote island of St. Helena, where he remained until his death 6 years later. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you have any comments or suggestions, you can send them my way at thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks as always to Chandler Mays for producing the show, and thank you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do you have a digital mindset? Check out Season 3 of This Is Digital. Season 3 of This Is Digital goes behind the scenes to reveal how digital trends show up in everyday decisions and actions, including driving profitable growth in enterprise software and how the new sports fan experience can drive revenue. Featuring guests like Chris D'Agostino of Databricks and Scott Crable of Thoma Bravo. Check out the latest and greatest on Season 3 of This Is Digital and learn more at westmonroe.com.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyers.com today.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.